and do not present a categorical threat to director independence. I think that when the board considers this, it will conclude that the company's employment of my daughter has not and will not compromise my independence. Furthermore, as demonstrated by the current disagreements between us, questions about my independence from management cannot be of real concern to any director. I have stated my views directly to you and to other board members about the company's lack of performance, its lack of accountability, and its poor allocation of capital resources. While I do not expect that everybody will agree with that point of view, I think that management's attempt to muzzle me for holding or articulating independent views flies in the face of the new rules on independence. A hallmark of independence is the willingness to speak up. Word of a split within the board, coupled with Disney's reform measures, clearly aimed at Gold, triggered press coverage. With Eisner's permission, Gold invited New York Times reporter Laura Holson to his Beverly Hills home, where he sidestepped questions about his relationship with Eisner, saying only that the Disney family owes a great debt of gratitude to Michael for what he has done. But my goal is to try to get the Disney company to perform at a level of efficiency it hasn't seen for a number of years. He went to some length to deflect Eisner's suggestions that he was pressuring him in a desperate effort to boost Disney's stock price because Shamrock had suffered reversals in the stock market. While he acknowledged losses in investments in L.A. Gear and Grand Union, both had gone bankrupt, he cited other gains and said Shamrock had $1.7 billion in assets with a manageable amount of leverage. The day after the article appeared, Sid Bass weighed in, writing Gold a letter, copied to all the directors, expressing his outrage that Gold was pursuing his campaign in the press. After the sale of so much of his Disney stake, Bass no longer had the power he once wielded. Still, he had a long history as an investor in Disney, and he had influence with directors, most of whom wouldn't have been on the board had Bass objected. You, as a board member, have the right and the privilege to your opinion about the management, Bass said to Gold. By the same token, it has been my opinion that every board member has a fiduciary duty not to make statements to investors, investment bankers, and the press which will damage the company. Your public behavior has become a counterproductive distraction at a time when everybody's energy should be focused toward thoughtful and candid dialogue and analysis. I, too, am disappointed in the performance of the company in the last few years. Some of that disappointment comes from outside events, a recession and terrorist attacks. Some of that disappointment comes from unwise decisions of management. I measure managements according to what I think I could reasonably expect for myself. Some of the decisions I could have made better, and some poor decisions I spoke against before they were made. I also remember speaking against making Beauty and Lion King into Broadway productions, to name only two very poor opinions of mine that were fortunately ignored by management. I am not addressing the merits of either side of a debate, but how a debate is properly waged. While I may argue against your summary opinion of management, I respect your opinion. I do not respect or tolerate your current public behavior while you remain an important member of the board of directors. Here, you must play by the rules or step down and play by any rules you choose.